CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Thursday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. We're so glad you've joined us and looking forward to being with you, as we always are, every weekday afternoon at this time, live radio across America and around the world. And we just once again want to encourage you to give us a call. Perhaps you've been reading your Bible, come across something you don't understand, wondering what the truth of God really is. Not based upon the current wave of public opinion, but what does the Bible say on these topics? Well, see, again, we want to be about our Father's business. Thy kingdom come, Jesus said. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, I find that when people become born again, I find that God changes not only oftentimes our occupation, changes our friends, changes our habits, but also changes the way we think about what's right and what's wrong, what pleases God and what displeases him. And so often, because things have been accepted in a society, people believing that's right or that's okay, the Bible says it's forbidden and it will lead to destruction. People can make their own decisions. That's the thing that I really find is so important. God gives us that freedom, but then there's consequences, both good and bad, on how you live your life. And so if you live your life contrary to what God's word says, we're not going to be happy. We're not going to have joy. We're not going to have peace. There's going to be so many loose ends and unconnected ends in our life. But you know, when you about your Father's business, you're going to find that all these things, as we live our lives for the King, carry an eternal reward. And that's, friend, what I believe why we're all still here. So if you got a question you'd like to ask us, that number to call again, 888-ASK-CSN, and you can be part of the program today. And we'd like to welcome Daryl Skinner from Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. And Daryl, so glad you're here with us. Welcome.
Good to be with you. Good to be with you, Mike, and all listeners out there. It's great to be a part of the program, to Every Man an Answer, and to get the great questions that come in day in and day out. So such a joy it is to have so many people wanting to grow in their faith and to grow in God's word, and they get questions and challenged from various people of all walks of life, some religious, some non-religious, some just atheists, and we're here to help you out the best we can, folks, and we just want to give you the answers from the word of God. And Mike, as you were just sharing about, you know, when you become born again of the Holy Spirit, you ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior, you do change from the inside out. It's a process, of course. It's called sanctification theologically, but we're being separated from the ways of our flesh, the ways of the world, the ways of our enemy, the devil, and he changes us to be more like himself, and it's a beautiful change with love and joy and peace and goodness. I was just sharing last night our Bible study how Jesus says, come unto me, all you who labor heavy laden, I will give you rest for your souls. He says, come learn of me, I'm gentle and lowly of heart. And you know, what a great Savior we have. He's gentle with us. He's humble with us. He works with us, and he changes us from the inside out. It's a marvelous thing. And so if you're not a Christian today, folks, don't wait another day. Don't wait another minute. Give your heart to Jesus Christ. He's only a prayer away. Mike, good to be with
Amen.
You.
Amen. So to be about our daddy's business, what a wonderful thing that is. And then it carries an eternal reward. You know, everybody living right now, you're determining your eternal position. Now, this is really important because a lot of people miss this. But everybody living right now is determining what rewards, what position you're going to hold in eternity. Jesus talked a lot about this. He said, some will be beaten with many stripes, some with few. Others will be rewarded, and even a cup of cold water in his name bears a reward. So we want to be about our daddy's business. Get our Father's viewpoint of things, such as the sanctity of life. You know, people say, well, I'm this particular party or I'm that particular party, but I believe that abortion isn't wrong. The Bible says it is. And see, I want to do what God says because that's going to please him. And so we understand then that there are many things that God changes when we come to him. And again, whether it's our friends, our habits, where we go, what we do, or even our political stance. I believe when we adapt God's word to our heart, thy word I've hidden my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you don't put God's word in your heart, you won't know what's acceptable and not acceptable to God. 8888, ask CSN's the number to call if you want to be a part of the program. Today we have RW on the line from Northern California. Hi and welcome.
Hi, pastors. I have two phases to my question, and I'll ask the first one, and then if it's possible, I'll ask the second one. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, if anyone divorces his wife, causes her to commit adultery, and anyone who marries her is considered an adulterer. I don't understand that philosophy, or what Jesus said, or the Lord's philosophy in that. Why a woman would be considered an adulterer if he, the man, her husband, have divorced her? So that's my first question.
Okay, well, really, first of all, we have to understand when Jesus is talking about marriage, he's talking about Levitical marriage. Very important. Not 21st century America where Bill marries Steve and then Steve catches Bill with Tom and now they have biblical grounds for a divorce. No, according to the Bible, they were never married in the first place. And so we have to understand, number two, divorcing somebody in those days was really, really catastrophic, especially for the women, because they weren't integrated into society as women are in ours today. And Jesus was the greatest liberator of women ever in the entire world. And everywhere Christianity has gone, you find women elevated. Everywhere Christianity has not gone, you find women oppressed. Look at your Middle Eastern countries. They have to walk so many feet behind their husband. They have to have their burqas on and all this garb that they have to wear. Women are treated like camels. Well, that's, again, going back to the liberation of Jesus Christ, where there's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, bond or free. This goes back to God's liberating force in our life, and I think that's so important. However, in the Bible, and again, what Jesus is talking about, a Levitical marriage. Now, if you go back what a Levitical marriage is, that's where both people that are getting married, their families knew each other. Oftentimes, there were even arranged marriages, even from the time they were small children. And so these both people were raised in the same value system. Now, today, we don't have that anymore. The term family vacation has taken a whole new dynamic. Well, our family vacation is the guy that my mom shacked up with this month. See, everything's changed. And this is what's bad. And the Bible says this is what really marriage is part of what holds society together. And so when we understand that even in the whole Communist Manifesto to destroy America, one, it was destroy the families because families are what hold a nation together, destroy their patriotism, which I think we've all seen everybody burning our flag in the streets. Oh, not in Iran, New York City. Really remove that consciousness of God from the people's minds. So therefore, the state then can take over and be everything that God is to us as Christians. The state will supply all your needs. And this is the real problem. And so when we understand that when God liberates women, he does that, and understanding what a Levitical marriage was. Now, polygamy was not prohibited unless you were a pastor, a deacon in the church. Paul very clearly talks about this, 1 Timothy. But you could marry as many women as you could support. Now, am I saying that's what God's plan is? No. But certainly it was something that they did. And that's why the Bible says, if you're a minister, pastor of one wife, not a polygamist. Now, when we go back to understanding this, so you wouldn't divorce a woman you didn't want to be with or have an affair with. You just build her a little house out and back, take care of her, and marry somebody else. Now, I know this really maybe grates on a lot of people, but if you really read the Bible, this is the truth. In fact, if you go back, which of the Old Testament patriarchs didn't have more than one wife? We talk about the 12 tribes of Israel, the 12 sons of Jacob, from four different women. So when we understand these things, I believe it gives us a little better understanding of this. Now, I believe that we have to be very careful, especially in the Christian world. I've seen people say things like this to their wife or their husband. Well, I'm a Christian. I can treat you however I want because you can't divorce me. Well, friends, when you start using the gospel as a sledgehammer, friends, I think there's going to be problems. Daryl, your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, when we look at marriage and divorce, God does not want divorce. He wants us to be, as he said in the book of Genesis, which is the law first mentioned, that they would be one flesh and remain together. But divorce does happen in our society, whether it be through adultery or it be through it could be through a non-believer leaving a spouse. It could be also just through domestic violence and so forth. God has called us to peace, the Bible declares. So there's various aspects of divorce that we have to recognize. What does God prefer? He prefers us to stay together as one, as he declared in Genesis. If adultery is committed, then you're free to divorce. If the non-believer wants to leave, then that person is free to remarry. The innocent person of that is free to remarry. And so as we look to the New Testament, Jesus teaches, he's bringing forth to us the seriousness of the marriage relationship and the oneness between a man and a woman. You know, in our society right now, we're it's kind of like anything goes at any moment in time. So it's important for us to realize that we need to return to the biblical values of being committed to one another, loving one another, cherishing one another, and so forth. I know that I have taught many times on the marriage and relationships and so forth. And sometimes people marry and then they've discovered that that person is really not what they thought they were. Their character wasn't fully examined. It takes time to examine character. You must have to give yourself some time. Sometimes people rush into it too quickly, and you have to let the development of the Christian character be developed in that marriage relationship that with that spouse. So these are important aspects of we look to marriage. Now, if all of a sudden someone divorces their wife, is she now an adulterer? No, she's the innocent victim. First Corinthians 7 talks about that, and she's free to remarry. It's important to realize God is a God of His love, His grace, His mercies are there for us. There's when you're innocent, and the other one decided to be a non-believer and leave that marriage relationship. So that's what happens. But what I've discovered, each relationship has its own determination of what's going on, and you go through counseling, and we work it out biblically to see what the Lord has. So hopefully that helps you out, my friend.
Yeah, and you know, the other thing is, when you go into a marriage as well, it isn't, and dating isn't, deceive that person into the stratosphere until after you say, I do, and then the real you can come out. This oftentimes is what happens. I've seen all kinds of things, from men that marry women and don't tell them about their children in other states, to being wanted by the FBI in other states, to diseases they may have and didn't tell somebody. All these different things are all part of the ingredients going back to what a Levitical marriage is. See, in other words, it isn't, well, I'll tell you who I am after we get married. The idea of a Levitical marriage was to lay it all on the table before you say, I do. And then that way that person knows exactly what they're getting into. The problem today is deceit seems to be reigning supreme. Hope that helps, RW.
Can I go to the next phase?
Sure.
Okay. This is a little more involved, but I understand if you can't really answer it, but I could get some thoughts from you, both of you. I really value your advice.
We'll do our best. We don't know it all, but we'll do our best.
Right. Yeah. No, and I appreciate that. I'm a widower, and from, you know, married a long time, and I just prayed and said, Lord, if you want me to, you know, I really miss the companionship, and I waited a good a year, and said, please, you know, but I'd like to find someone again, and someone came into my life, and I had prayed to send someone, and so this person came into my life, and unfortunately, she is a divorcee from 17 years ago, and she she felt like she had reason to divorce because she felt abandoned, but it wasn't physically abandoned, more mentally, spiritually, and there were some situations happened. So I've talked to a couple of pastors, and they've said black and white, no, it's not. God won't bless you guys, and you shouldn't be together. I've talked to other pastors that said, no, there's grace and mercy at the cross. He understands where you're at in the situation, and you're okay with that. And we're okay with that, you know, that it's okay because 17 years ago. So that's kind
even
of
if
where
you,
it's at,
even but, if it was your fault and you did a mistake, God's grace is greater than what you've done wrong. The Bible says God will forgive any sin that we have done. And for somebody to say, well, God won't bless a marriage because the person that you married was divorced before or whatever, simply just is not true. And we look all the way through the Bible, we see God's mercy being extended. I mean, I would ask that same person, so was Joseph sinning having four wives and having 12 sons? We don't know how many daughters he had. What about that? See, so when you really start examining these things, I think this is where we understand either God forgives us or he doesn't. Now, if he doesn't, we're all in trouble. And so I believe that, again, we have to be very, very careful in passing judgments. Yeah, maybe it's wonderful. In your life, Pastor John or whatever, you got a good one and you guys are happily married. But there's a lot of people that wind up marrying people and find that they are very, very difficult, that guised it before they were married. Something else I would like to say too is that oftentimes in a remarriage, you've got to be very careful because a lot of times, and especially when a spouse dies, you try to fill that void with somebody else, believing they're going to be just like your previous wife or previous husband. And I found most often and almost in every case, they never are. They're different. They're an individual too. They have their own quirks and personalities and their strong points and their weak points. And then we feel cheated because, well, my ex-wife did it like this, or my deceased wife or husband did it like this, and you're not doing it like this, so you're doing it wrong, and so therefore I can't live with you. There's a danger in that because I believe oftentimes we try to transpose them who is no longer with us upon the new person that we're married to. And so personally, just to let you know, I would have no trouble marrying you to this woman because I understand God's grace. 17 years ago, oh, you're condemned forever to always be alone. And I mean, I'm sorry. And here's the other part of this. And Daryl, I want you to weigh on this because This is something I think is really important. If God does not forgive this, then really none of us should accept the Lord till we're on our deathbed. Let me repeat that. If God doesn't forgive us of our past, 18 years ago, a bad marriage, a mistake we made or left somebody or whatever, then we shouldn't really accept the Lord until the very last minute because God only knows what other mistakes I might make in my life or somebody might do to me. And so therefore, if I can't be forgiven for, well, you know, if you do that before you're a Christian, you can be forgiven. But if you're a Christian, then you can't be. Okay, so what you're telling me, dude, is that a non-believer has more rights in the kingdom of God than a child of God. Oh, friends, we got some problems. We got some heavy theological issues here. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Well, I think about this, what Jesus shared about the prodigal son. The son was part of the family, left the family, and then went off into all kinds of riotous living. And then he returns. And the father did not shun the son. He received the son, embraced the son, and celebrated with the son returning. I think what's important for us is as we look to the woman that was caught in adultery also, Jesus said, now go and sin no more. He doesn't want us to continue in sin because it's harmful to the kingdom of God. It's harmful to the individual. It's harmful to other people. And he wants us to live a good, right life. Now, in regards to your question, can you marry her? Yes. Everyone makes mistakes. They grow in their faith. They ask for forgiveness. And God's grace and mercy is there for all of us. So it's not a life of continual punishment. The Lord said, Peter said to Jesus, how many times shall I forgive? And Jesus says, 70 times 7. 490 times, Lord, what if I get to 491? Well, that's too many. No, he didn't say that. It was just an illustration. So it's important that we realize this. Now, not to cheapen the grace of God. As Paul writes, shall I continue in
Absolutely.
Sin that grace may
yeah,
abound?
We don't want to do that.
We don't want to do that. But as people that repent, they make mistakes in life. All of us have. And they make various mistakes in life. Are they going to be able to be forgiven? Are they going to be restored? Are they going to be having a new relationship with the Lord as they're reconciled? I mean, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, died not only for our sins, but for the sins of the whole world. So this is where we see the grace and the mercies of God. And I think in the process of life, we learn as we grow as believers in Jesus. First, we're born again, we're little babies, then we grow as children, and then we're growing into adulthood, and we're growing, we're learning. And the grace and the mercies of God, he says, my mercies are new, what? Every morning. So this is who God is, what he does, and he wants us to grow and to learn and to develop he wants to develop our lives into his image. And so it's an image of holiness, an image of righteousness, image of love, joy, peace. It's an image of forgiveness and grace. So this is who he is and what he does in us and through us. So that's what I feel the scripture says. Mike?
Hope that helps.
Oh, that's a beautiful answer, pastors.
Yeah, I would, you know, I mean this idea that you better do all your sinning before you come to Christ, because after you're a Christian, man, you're not going to be forgiven. I've heard ministers say this kind of stuff. And I go, what Bible are you reading? You know, it's interesting. This is what the Pharisees were doing. They called Jesus a wine bibber and those that fellowship with publicans and sinners. And Jesus said, the sick ones are the ones who need the doctor. If God's only going to forgive us for things that we do after we're a Christian, won't forgive us, then, man, wait until you're on your deathbed. Now, I know you probably never heard anybody say that before, but if you take their theology, friends, this unforgiveness for Christians that have gotten a divorce, well, you say, well, Mike, what about what Jesus said? Yes, referring to a Levitical marriage. But I can guarantee you 95% of all the marriages today are not following Levitical practices. And so, therefore, we're trying to apply something that Jesus said from Levitical law to 21st century marriage. And again, Bill marries Steve legally in America, obey the laws of the land, the Bible says. And then Bill catches Steve with Phil. Now they have a legal right for a divorce. No, I'm sorry. They were never married in the first place. I don't care what the laws of the land say. The Bible says they're not. Well, here's the problem. What other things in a heterosexual marriage apply the same way? Again, deceit enters into it. Not telling somebody the truth. You went into the marriage fraud. You didn't tell a person the things about you that they should have been told. I think we have to be very, very careful when we look at this and the laws of God without mercy. Yes, that's what Bible says. The Bible says it's best. A man marries a woman and never gets a divorce. And you have kids. You have a stable family. You have a stable nation. But the problem is it takes two to make a marriage, only one to make a divorce. And you don't know, ministers, that you may be judging what they have to endure at their home married to somebody that is very contrary. You might have left as a minister years ago. You might have left years ago if that spouse treated you the way the person you're pointing your finger at. I think we need to be very, very careful. And I do believe in the grace of God. I do believe the Word of God is true. If you meet all the criteria, I think, yeah. But I still believe that divorce is not the unpardonable sin. And certainly, look at the woman caught in adultery, thrown at Jesus' feet. And he said, woman, where are your accusers? And she says, there are none, Lord. And he said, go and sin no more. Now, that's the target. Remember Peter? Oh man, this guy was weak in his soul. I don't know who Jesus is. He cussed and swore at the little slave girl in Herod's courtyard. He always cared about what other people thought of him. Yet we see in Acts chapter 2, him standing up, delivering this wonderful speech about what the Holy Spirit is, how it came. These men are not drunk with wine where you think, but they're filled with the Holy Spirit. And yet later on, Paul says he rebukes him to his face because Paul cared about what the Gentiles or the Jews would say if he ate with the Jews. The same problem he had back in the garden, in Herod's courtyard, still was in his psyche when he would not eat with the Gentiles because he was in fear of what the Jews may think. And the Bible says Paul rebuked him for that. So yeah, Christians do dumb things. In the Bible, in our personal lives, that's why we have a Savior bigger than the things that we've done wrong. RW, I hope that helps. I'll send you out some books and DVDs, okay?
Amen. Thanks, pastors.
Amen. God is the weightlifter, let me tell you. And Jesus talked about those that go around laying burdens on people, grievous to be borne, yet they themselves will not lift a finger to help those people. I look at that and I think, wow, God. You know, I mean, I've actually had people come to me as a pastor saying, I wish I wouldn't have got saved when I did because I could have been forgiven. I go, no, where did you hear that? Well, I heard this is not forgivable or that's not forgivable or whatever. I go, no, that's not what the Bible says. Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit is, and that's the rejection of the Holy Spirit's call to repent. Stay in line, RW. We'll get you taken care of. Coming up on a break, we'll be right back.
It's so easy to politicize abortion, but the reality is there's a precious life at stake, and that little life doesn't have a voice. All that little life has is a heartbeat, and it can be heard as early as 5 weeks on ultrasound. That's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is a voice for the little ones.
They do an ultrasound, and that's when everything changed. Because when I saw my baby, and when I heard her heartbeat, that was it.
Preborn Network of Clinics offers free ultrasounds to women in crisis while showering them with God's love. This powerful combination doubles a baby's chance at life and has helped rescue over 300,000 babies. To learn more about Preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. All gifts are tax deductible.
Maybe you can relate to this. A lot of people can. They feel like their health care costs are just out of control. And if you're 65 or older, there's actually some great news about this. You can sign up for MediShare 65 Plus and save big in the new year. MediShare 65 Plus is a healthcare bill sharing community. It's trusted, it's faith-based, and it's saving people like you thousands on medical expenses. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know out-of-pocket expenses add up fast, but this gets things back under control and gives you peace of mind, too. With one low monthly price, saves you so much, and it's easy. You can use any Medicare-approved doctor. So find out why so many seniors are absolutely raving about MediShare 65 Plus. It's very different in a wonderful way. It's actually refreshing. They even offer to pray with you each time you call. Call now and find out more. It's 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
Part two of Every Man Answer on this Thursday afternoon with Daryl Skinner, pastor of Calvary Chapel, Pearl Harbor, Honolulu, Hawaii. And if you're out in the islands, I know he would love to see you. You know, Daryl, real quick, give us the directions to your church so people visiting maybe the Pearl Harbor Memorial or just coming over to maybe fly to the Big Island to see volcanoes in action.
There you go.
There you go. Tell us how to find your church.
We're right in the center of the island, actually. We were located in Pearl Harbor itself, and then the Navy decided they wanted the property back where the shopping center we were located. So we moved more towards the center of the island, kept the iconic name Pearl Harbor. And so right in the center of the island, we're across the street from Central Oahu Park. And there's a city called Waikele. We're right in Waikele. And it's a beautiful area. The Lord is blessed, and we're just having a great time in the Lord. We have a school. We have a pro-life center. And as we continue, actually, we're going to have a prophecy conference coming up February 15th. If you're having to be out here, we'll have Billy Crone will be speaking with some other folks that will be sharing in Bible prophecy. So we're looking forward to that coming up on February 15th on a Saturday all day. And we're currently just going through the Word of God, blessing the people's hearts and lives as we study from Genesis to Revelation. So come out and join us if you're in the area or if you're visiting. In fact, Mike, it's such a joy when people come out here and they stop by, and they're from all over the country. I've had people from Florida and Alabama and Colorado and New York and every place there is this outreach of CSN and TEMA. It's a wonderful thing to see, and people come, and we get to rejoice with them and fellowship with them and have a great time together. So just go to our website, Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor. It gives you all the directions, everything you need, phone numbers and all those things, and they'll get you right here. So or just tell Siri when you're in the car, hey, I need to go to Calvary Chapel Pearl Harbor. You'll get here. All right?
Yeah, thank Siri you, knows where your church is at.
Yeah, absolutely. So does Alexa.
They do. Alexa does too. So good to know. Back to the phones we go. We have Vance on the line, Ario Grande, California. Hi, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much.
How can we help?
Pastor, so I just happened to turn the radio on. I just caught the last half of the previous, I think, caller. I think about marriage and sin, stuff like that.
Yes.
And just wanted to make sure I was on the same page as you guys from what I heard. Obviously, Jesus' blood covers all sin, past, present, and future. But if we're now as born again, then we don't purposely sin, correct?
That's right. Because always remember, this is what I tell people. Sin never does me good. It always does me harm. No matter what the devil says, no matter how much he candy coats sin, it's still not good for us. And I believe, again, when we look at what the Bible says on marriage and divorce, the Bible says to rightly divide the word of God. And we have to look at that. And again, when we look at the words that Jesus spoke of in marriage, chapter 5 of Matthew as an example, other places through the Bible, it's very clear that it's referring to a Levitical marriage. That's where everybody was on the same page. Your family knew my family. We were almost raised together. Oftentimes, they were betrothed when they were even 10, 12 years old. They, you know, that they were going to get married. Everybody knew everybody. That's not the way it is anymore. And like I shared before, you marry somebody, and then, oh, by the way, I'm wanted in 3 states by the FBI. Or I've got kids in 4 states. I didn't tell you about it. Well, why didn't you tell me? I actually know a case like this. And the guy said, well, if I told you that I had kids in another state, you wouldn't have married me. So deliberately withheld information that would make. Now, let me clarify something. Well, you didn't tell me you didn't like pepperoni pizza, and I love pepperoni pizza. I'm going to leave you. No, we're not talking about foolish things like that. But we are talking about major life-changing issues, like being wanted, diseases, children in other states, things that, and when someone says, well, if I told you about those things, you wouldn't marry me. Those are the things we're talking about. Well, you know, I really don't like pepperoni pizza. Oh, well, I'm not going to marry you. Well, good. Then don't marry the person. But after you're married to the person, you know, you should have known what a person likes to eat. It isn't, hi, what's your name? Want to get married? Well, unfortunately today, people take marriage so lightly that this is almost the criteria. You know, well, they even have a TV show. No, I can't remember the name of it, but you know him for 24 hours and you marry him. What a stupid show. I mean, that's dumb. You're committing your life to somebody that you haven't even known a day? Wow. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Your question for us was, again, my friend? Hello? Are you there?
Yeah, Vince is there. He was just... Go ahead.
Are you there? Vince?
Okay, yes. Yes.
Well, what was your question again? Yes.
Oh, yeah. That I think the other gentleman was asking, could he marry again?
Right.
And so absolutely, I agree with the pastor saying, you know, our past sins and how he, you know, how he worded his answer there. But if I desire to marry again and I know that God says not to, then I would be purposely sinning. So that's kind of what I wanted clarification on.
Well, I think as you seek the Lord, he's going to show you whether you should or not and what your situations might be. You know, in life, we all venture in life with the Lord, and sometimes people make mistakes. And so are they going to be in that place of judgment their whole life? I think God is gracious enough to say no. He loves us. Even you look at the life of King David and what he did. God's grace was there for him.
Illustration.
Yeah. So I think I wish I could say that we're all perfect once we become born again, but we're not. And that's why.
No. You know,
yeah. Excuse me.
That's sorry.
Why John in 1 John says, if we say that we have no sin, we make him a liar. His truth is not in us. That's why he also says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so we make mistakes, and we have to admit our mistakes, and then we learn from them. Now, the Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. That which we sow, we shall also reap. So there is a reaping to the consequences of our sins. And it comes in a variety of ways. It comes financially. It could come family-wise. It could come with our children and so forth. Whatever it is, we have to make sure we're making the right decisions to the best of our ability to glorify God. Now, if we make mistakes and we follow the flesh, well, there's going to be consequences to that sin. You're going to reap the repercussions and the consequences thereof. You know, Mike, you brought up something interesting. I was doing premarital counseling years ago, and a gal brought in this guy, and he kind of swept her off her feet and so forth. And we got talking, and pretty soon we fleshed out that he was actually already married to a girl in Mexico, and yet he felt it was okay that he could marry a girl in America, here in the U.S.
Oh, man.
And so I said, wait a minute, you're married, my friend. You got to go back to your girl there in Mexico and be a husband to her and so forth. So, you know, it is important for people to try to flush out anything that might be there, because there are people out there they're deceivers and they're con artists. And they're trying to take advantage of people. They may be trying to get into your finances, your money, and so forth, and so on. So just be cautious out there, my friends, and do a little bit of research and background checks on this individual as much as you can. We have more availability now than ever to do that with the internet and all the things that we have. So that's just another aspect of learning the truth about somebody. Mike, I'll give it back to you.
I hope that helps.
I just want to clarify, obviously, I forget the verse in the New Testament, to purposely do something that you know is against the Lord is sin. And so that's what I'm asking. In other words, all the past sins that we've done, absolutely, Jesus' blood covers that. But to purposely do something we know is wrong, I don't think that would be something God would want us to do.
Well, of course not. It's called willful disobedience. But the problem is, everybody, since they've been born again, commits that sin, whatever it might be. We all do things we know is wrong. Taking the name of the Lord in vain is wrong. That's actually one of the Ten Commandments. In fact, in the Ten Commandments, it doesn't say you can't get a divorce, but it says not to take the name of the Lord in vain. But boy, people will be first to jump all over somebody because they got a divorce, but never mind covetousness or some other sin that the person is committing. I'm always amazed, and this was the case with King David, when he had Uriah killed and married his wife. And Nathan the prophet comes by after David ends up marrying this girl after he had her husband killed in battle. And so there was a man, and he was poor. And he had a little sheep that stayed and kept the kids warm at night. It was a pet. Well, this rich man had a guest come unexpectedly, went over, knocked on the door of the poor man, demanded his sheep. He got it and butchered it and fed it to his friend. David said, "Who is that man? He will die." And Nathan said, "Thou art the man." directly referencing what he did to Bathsheba's husband. Now, we find God forgave him. David went ahead and married this girl. He had married her. But David, he had problems in his family because he had so many kids with, I think, seven different wives. He had inner turmoil like nobody's business. But God didn't say, "Oh, nope, David, sorry, you're out. You had the guy's husband killed, and then you married his wife, and oh, no, you're done. It's the unforgivable sin. You've disqualified yourself." I've heard that dumb thing as well. And yet God says David was a man after God's own heart because David repented. Now, David didn't divorce Bathsheba. In fact, her next son, Solomon, took over in the place of David. So I very clearly see that. And the Bible says someday Jesus will reign from Jerusalem and King David as well. Your thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I think as we, you know, we're not, no way advocating you, that you purposely sin.
Absolutely.
But we all sin. I mean, Jesus says you look at a woman with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. I guess you got to walk around blind and so forth. But it's just important to realize we're full of the sin natures within us. And we're not perfect. Now, we're being sanctified. And I don't want to get away from striving for holiness and righteousness. That's what we're to do because it's best for the kingdom of God. It's best as the Holy Spirit directs us. It's best for our own personal lives, our marriages, our families. But we're full of sin, and we've got to contend with it. We've got to put it out of business. We don't want that old man to rise up and take over. We have the lust of the flesh and then the fruit of the Spirit, as you read in Galatians. If you just totally give in to the lust of the flesh, the Bible says they that practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, and so forth, righteousness, goodness, and truth. And that's what we strive for. But we do make mistakes. And yes, there are willful mistakes. And God does forgive us for the willful mistakes as well as the ignorant mistakes, if you will. And thank goodness he's a God of grace and mercies. And I think David is a great example. You read Psalm 51, it's so powerful. Just a powerful psalm of forgiveness that David dealt with in his own heart and his own life. And God had it written down there in the scriptures for our benefit. So we grow, we learn, and we understand the goodness of God and how he's going to bring joy back into his heart. And he's going to fill him with the Holy Spirit. He's going to be used to testify of God's great and glorious salvation. All these things are part of what God does in us and through us, because without his grace and mercies, we're doomed. We're doomed. And this is why Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He took all of our sins upon himself. In exchange, he has clothed us in his righteousness. And so this is why we're only able to go to heaven is because of Jesus' righteousness, because there's no good thing to be really found within us. We're sinners through and through, but we're being sanctified by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Our lives are being changed. And then one glorious day, we're going to find ourselves in heaven. We'll be glorified. We'll be perfected. We'd all look forward to that.
Mike? Amen. I hope that helps. And again, this is for this reason Christ died. And what I was going to tell you, when he said, "Thou art the man," to David, Nathan said that to King David. Our sin always looks so much worse on somebody else. You know, we can sin all we want, but that person's sin is worse than mine. Well, maybe in society it could be, but to God, all sin is sin. And this is why we have that advocate with the Father, which is Christ Jesus, John talks about in 1 John chapter 1. Hope that helps.
Amen, pastors. Really appreciate you guys expounding the truth in love. Thanks a bunch.
Well, see what happens. Many churches, because the minister doesn't know the whole counsel of God's word. He only knows the sermon that he prepared as he might have read something out of the Bible. Now, I'm not dissing on that necessarily. But when you come to topics that actually have a broad range, whether it's eternal security, whether it's marriage and divorce, whether it's the rapture, whether it's prophecy. I believe you got to look at all the verses that pertain to that topic to come to the right conclusion. But this is not what happens oftentimes in the churches today. They read only the verses that they like, or their denomination has said, now this is what you will say, rather than what the entirety of God's word says. And does God forgive us universally, unconditionally? Well, to these guys, no. No, God forgives you, but no. The Bible says, as if I never did it. As far as the east is from the west, even in the Old Testament, God said, I choose to remember their sins no more. Thank God for his grace. So am I saying, okay, now it's okay to go out and get divorced? No, not at all. In fact, everything, it should be the opposite. But you know, the thing is, again, somebody said, I think it was Chuck Smith, I was talking to him one time, and he said, well, you know, marriage is the closest you're going to get to heaven this side of heaven, or the closest you're going to get to hell this side of heaven. So, again, it's a wonderful thing when two people can live in harmony. Stay on the line, Vince. We'll send you out some books, some DVDs. I think you'll enjoy. Share with your friends. Let's go to Stan in Nevada. Hi, welcome.
Hi, Pastor.
Hi.
My question is on the non-forgivable sin. I had someone ask me, I'm new to the Lord, and I told him it was blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but I couldn't really expound on it or explain it. Will you do
that?
Well,
you're right. Blasphemy simply means the shining on of the Holy Spirit. Most Bible scholars and believe that this is the final call of God calling a man to repent. Your thoughts, Daryl?
Yeah, it's the rejection of the calling of the Holy Spirit upon a person's life for salvation to the point of death. That would be the fullness of the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus had declared that the Pharisees had committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit because he knew they would never, ever come to his salvation. So he could make that proclamation because he's God, he knows all things. For us, sometimes people say, you know, I got angry with God and I cursed at God and I committed blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. No, you haven't. You haven't. Just ask God for forgiveness. He'll forgive you and he'll be there for you. He'll love you. He'll take care of you. But if you want to reject Jesus Christ to the point of death, then you've blasphemed the Holy Spirit, the calling of the Holy Spirit, and now you're headed to hell. So that's the summary of these things. Mike? Yep.
Yeah, amen. And so God, even for non-believers, and especially where there are believers in that individual's life that are praying for him, the Holy Spirit comes, knocks on the door of the heart. Will you open? No, 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 no. Ooh, they flatline. You blaspheme the Holy Spirit for the last time, and you're dead. But I believe God will forgive us unless the Bible specifically says God won't. And there is such a sin in the Bible. And I think we need to be fair about this. If you take the mark of the beast, you will not go to heaven. That's very clear. Mm-hmm. So any sin will be forgiven, man, and I believe except what is outlined in God's word. Daryl, I've never talked to you about this, but when the Bible says if you take the mark, you won't be forgiven, your thoughts on that?
Is God
joshing us there? Is that just a,
no, it says in the book of Revelation that if you take the mark of the beast, you're going to be it's like your signature to hell. So and that's what the scripture says. So that is one particular aspect of declaration in regards to those who take the mark of the beast. It's you're headed to hell. That's as simple as it is. And this is why it's so vitally important, folks out there. Don't wait till after the rapture of the church. Don't wait until you see the Antichrist. Come to Christ today. God has a great plan for you. He loves you. He cherishes you. He wants to use your life for his glory, honor, and praise. Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. Why would you not want the abundant life now? Everybody that goes to hell they're never going to come to Christ. They don't want to come to Christ. They don't ever want God in their life. They always want to be the God of their own life. This is what they do. So people get this sloppy agape going on saying, well, how could a God of love send people to hell? They sent themselves to hell. This is the reality of it all. They sent themselves. They rejected God, his Holy Spirit. They rejected the word of God. They rejected Jesus Christ. God is always working to save everybody across the planet. And you got to work really hard at rejecting him and living for yourself, full of your pride, following the ways of the devil. And you'll follow the devil all the way to hell. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. It wasn't made for humanity. But because we follow the devil, he's going to lead us to hell. That would be our choice. God is doing everything he can to save every single soul on the planet, each and every day and every moment of the day. Mike?
Yeah, what did the angels do? They rebelled against God. What are humans doing? Rebelling against God. The result, the punishment is the same. So I think it's very important. Today is the appointed day of salvation. Stay online, Stan. We'll send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs, okay?
Thank you so much for clearing that up for me.
God bless you.
Thanks for the.
We're here for you if you need us. Let's go to Joseph, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Hi, welcome.
Hello, man of God. I have a very good friend. He's probably one of the best friends I have. And he studied the Bible, and I enjoyed discussing the Bible with him. He asserts that the New King James does not have all of the original, he says, books, but makes mention of them. And he gives me scriptures where they're mentioned. First Chronicles 29:29, the book of Nathan, Numbers 21:14, the book of the wars of the Lord, 2 Samuel 1:17, the book of Jasper, and he even mentions John, New Testament, John 21:24. We know what that says, but I want you to comment on that. I want to be able to give him what I believe would be a better response.
Yeah, sure. The New King James, the Old King James, does not have these books. And there's books that the Bible mentions that were not inspired. That's why they're not in there. Now, on some of the newer versions that are based off of the Alexandrian text, there are big pieces missing of the scripture, like the last part of chapter 16 of Mark, which is wrongly left out. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, when we look through these books, many of them were historical writings and so forth that were given reference to, but not considered to be inspirational as we read through the scriptures that we have today, as they are what we call canonized. They're truly have gone through Jesus and the apostles quoted every book of the Old Testament, except for one, which is the book of Esther. The book of Esther is a unique historical book that we have, and it spells out. I would not go outside the realm of the Old and the New Testament books that we have today. People tend to do this. They say the Gospel according to Mary Magdalene, or what's another one out there? The Book of Enoch. And the Book of Enoch, it's not Enoch from what you read in Genesis. That book was written like before 400 BC, 200 BC, right in there. So it's not a book. Now, there's an oral tradition that Enoch is spoken, which you read about in Jude. But it's not the particular book that people are referencing today. So it's important to realize we have the inspired canon of scriptures today that we can trust. And if we don't want to go outside of that, because then it becomes a Pandora's box. It's just a free-for-all. And these scriptures have been tried, and they're tried and true. The Bible says that the spirit of prophecy is a testimony of Jesus Christ. And so we know the prophetically speaking, we can study from Genesis all the way through to Malachi, speaking of the Savior to come. And then when you look at the Gospels, and then you look at the book of Acts, and you look at the epistles, and the book of Revelation is speaking of the Messiah who's already come for us and is prophesying things of the future, like the book of Revelation, what's going to be taking place. And we have historical standards and understandings and scriptural fulfillments throughout the Old and New Testaments that we see, so that we know that they're truly inspired by God. Outside of that, if God wanted us to have another book, it would be part of our what we know as the Old and New Testaments. Mike?
Amen. So I hope that answers it for you.
It does. I was going just basically telling the last statement.
Yeah, very quickly, there's some books in the Catholic Bible, Maccabees and others. They're historical books, but they were deemed not to be inspired scripture. And just because a book is old doesn't mean that it's scripture. There's a lot of bad books that were floating around them. The Gospel of Mary and these different books, they're old, but they're not inspired. In fact, many of them have gross obvious things wrong with them. So that's why we find that. And I think you can do some pretty good study on the internet on that. Joseph, stay online. I'll send you out some books, some DVDs. We're all out of time. Sherry, Helen, Claudia, please call us back tomorrow. Put you on first thing. Thanks, Daryl, for being on.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you all. Have a good night.
Or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Every Man an Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Every Man an Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Every Man an Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.